Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Peter Gaiman, professor of Old Testament and Biblical Languages at Shepherd Seminary. This podcast is dedicated to discussing issues related to scripture and theology. For more information, visit petergaiman.com.
Welcome to episode number 124, and we're going to have a special episode today, and we're going to talk about the State of Theology 2022. Now, if you have not heard this before, we've done this a long time ago on episode 74. We did the State of Theology 2020, and essentially what it is it's a survey that's put together by Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research. And what they do is they survey American adults. So this most recent 2022 survey surveyed 3,011 adults, providing a 95% confidence over-under rate of 2%. And what they did was they asked them theology questions. So the goal of the State of Theology survey is to kind of track Americans' thinking on biblical issues. So really, the point of this episode is, what do Americans believe? But even more specifically for our purposes, what do Christians believe? And this, I think, will be informative for our consciousness as we're trying to understand what it is that the Christian church in America believes. And I think it will be revealing to some of us, even how things have changed in 2 years. And so we're looking at the State of Theology. You can visit the demographics and the full statistical analysis at thestateoftheology.com. If you want to visit there, I'll put a link in the show notes where you can visit that. But let's jump right in. So the opening section on the study says, what do Americans believe about God, salvation, ethics, and the Bible? Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research partnered to find out. So I already told you that these are the partners. They do it every 2 years. And so this was just released hot off the press just this last weekend. And so we're going to analyze this together, kind of live stream it, as it were, because I haven't really looked at it. I just thought I would point out some of the things that I know that are going to be found there. So in the opening section, so there are a variety of questions that are asked. And they have a summary statement at the very beginning of their website, and then you can actually use their Data Explorer, it's called, and you can fine-tune the data. You can see, okay, what do evangelicals believe? What do Black Protestants believe, et cetera? You can really fine-tune it by male, female, et cetera. So it's a very helpful analysis. Now, the first question is about God and whether or not he changes. Right. So the people who were being surveyed were given a statement. So this is statement number 4 in the survey. And the statement was, God learns and adapts to different circumstances. So God learns and adapts to different circumstances. So this is the survey for all American adults. So they were asked to agree or disagree with this. You can say you strongly agree or you somewhat agree, or you somewhat disagree, strongly disagree. And then you can put not sure as well. So you have those 5 options. And so out of all of the U.S. adults that were surveyed, you had 51% agreeing with the statement, God learns and adapts to different circumstances. Now, I'm going to go over to the Data Explorer here because I think it's also helpful to analyze the evangelical response to this. So rather than just viewing all U.S. adults, if you filter it down to evangelicals, so out of the U.S. response, there's 3,011 total U.S. adults that responded. The evangelical population that was surveyed was 879. So granted, it's a little less of a statistical pool that you're drawing from, but I think this is still revealing. Because when you look at the evangelical response, you had 11% saying that they weren't sure, but you still had 47% agreeing with the statement that God learns and adapts to different circumstances. right? So, I mean, just think about the different scriptures, even Ligonier and Crossway in this section, they quote some of these scriptures. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." You also have James 1:17, which says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So scripture is very clear about God's immutability. So God is not changing. God doesn't learn or adapt according to scriptural theology. But you have, even among the evangelical population, so presumably they would know enough to identify themselves as evangelical, saying, "Well, I know I'm not Catholic and I'm not mainline Protestant, so I know that I'm evangelical." They know enough about that, but they don't know enough about theology, where almost half of the evangelical population says that God does change. And that's pretty strange, and that's obviously not a revealing, or I should say that is a revealing factor as far as what to expect with Christians. Now, as we go on, another question has to do with the innocence of humanity and the total depravity of man. So are we born innocent? And of course, you look at the scriptural pattern, you have Psalm 51, which is one of the great psalms of repentance written by David. And he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In Romans 5:12, we read, "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." So there is a clear biblical teaching that there is nobody who is born innocent. We are all born as fallen sinners. And yet, statement number 15 of the survey is, everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. Do you agree or disagree? So everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. Well, for the U.S. adults, 71% agree with that. You have 53% strongly agreeing, 17% somewhat agreeing, then you had 9% not sure, and then you had a 21% that disagree with that out of all the 3,011 participants that were surveyed. So it's a very high percentage. When can you get 71% of U.S. adults to agree on anything? Well, it seems like this is a popular opinion here, that the foregoing opinion of those who are surveyed, the majority, the far and away majority, is that yes, human beings are innocent. Now, that is rather unsurprising, given that the secular creed today is pushing that mankind is basically good. But perhaps what is maybe even a little more surprising is that it's not that different among evangelicals, because among the evangelicals in the survey, 65% agreed with the statement, "Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God." So 65% of evangelicals and 61% of evangelicals actually strongly agreed. So there is a higher percentage among evangelicals who strongly agreed with the statement that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. So essentially two-thirds of evangelicals, according to the survey, believe that human beings were born in a state of innocence. And Ephesians 2, which talks about we are dead, born in our trespasses and sins, and that's not the mindset of many of the evangelical world, those in the church. And so I would say that this is quite disturbing, since this is a very foundational reality of what it means to be a Christian, is to understand that we need a Savior, because no man is without sin. We are all born into iniquity. And yet even those who claim to be Christians in the United States don't hold to this foundational doctrine. All right, so continuing on, we get to the question of, does church membership matter? Does church membership? Now, this comes from statement 24, and this is the statement that's given. Every Christian has an obligation to join a local church. So every Christian has an obligation to join a local church. Well, as the U.S. participants are surveyed, we find that 56% disagree with such a statement. So 56% 85% disagree. Only 36% agree, and 8% are not sure about that. And of course, one would appeal to Hebrews 10, where we are told, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And so Christians are commanded to go to church. In fact, that was a big discussion during the time of COVID and how Christians ought to think about that. And so Christians are commanded to go to church. And one of the things that comes out as evangelicals are fine-tuned is that evangelicals do have a different view than mainstream Americanism here. And so 68% of evangelicals do agree with the statement, every Christian has an obligation to join a local church. So in one sense, that is encouraging, but I suppose I'm only slightly less encouraged by that because in one sense, I know that many of the people who fill out these surveys will be going to churches that are not faithful, are not solid. And that's another issue, but that's one of the reasons why we have the problems that we have is that many churches are weak or anemic or teaching false doctrine. And so this is going to come out as we continue on in the survey. So as we look at some of the main highlights there, I think those are some of the just generic highlights that are listed on the summary of the survey. But I want to talk a little bit about the trends that are listed on this survey as well. So here's where the state of theology has been continuing since 2014 for some of the questions, and some of the questions have been added as issues become more and more pertinent. But in thinking about the trends of the Bible, we see a slight trend from 2014 to seeing Christians or even Americans in general, as the survey deals from the more specific to the less specific, of doubting Scripture. So a key foundational element that the church is built on specifically is that you have the Bible not just being the word of man, but the word of God. And I think that that is really the foundation upon which all of our beliefs are based, because if you don't have confidence in what Scripture is talking about as the word of God, then you can't have certainty about anything. And so here's one of the things that is traced from 2014. The statement, which is number 16 on this recent survey, the statement, the Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. Now, the U.S. general response, the U.S. general response to this, we've seen a secularization and an agreement, a further embracing of this statement. So the fact that the Bible is not literally true. In 2014, only 41%. So that is less than 10 years ago. So just 8 years ago, only 41% agreed with that statement that the Bible is not literally true. Okay, so 41% agreed in 2014, but in 2016, 44% agreed, 2018, 47%, 2020, 48% agreed, and then in 2022, 53% agreed with the statement that the Bible is not literally true. So we've had a growth in American ideology where the Bible, which used to be the centerpiece of even schooling and everything, people have been rejecting it as true. I think that is a sign of the times. Many of the problems that you see in society are attributed to this rejection of truth that way. Now, as we think about secularization and how that has continued to increase, we are not surprised given the culture in which we observe the LGBT identities and gender ideologies on full display. We're not surprised that we see a complete secularization with regard to gender identity. So the U.S. adult, the generic population as a whole, has seen more and more agreement with the statement that gender identity is a matter of choice. So in 2016, only 38% of U.S. adults agreed with the statement that gender identity is a matter of choice. But fast forward to 2022, and 42% of U.S. adults agree with the statement that gender identity is a matter of choice. That's a pretty revealing statement. Now, not half of the population doesn't agree with that, but I think it's pretty remarkable that you can have 40% of rational adults saying that gender is a matter of choice and not a matter of science or birth or something of that nature. And I think that just goes to show the success of propaganda and how when people keep saying something, people start to embrace it as a matter of fact. Now, on that same note, with regard to homosexuality, this again will come as no surprise, but in 2016, 42% of individuals agreed with the statement that the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior does not apply today. So 42% agreed in 2016, and then in 2022, 46% agree. So again, you have a slight increase there. What's interesting is that in 2020, according to the statistical analysis, there was a slight dip with only 40% agreeing, which was actually less than 2016, but that must be some sort of statistical anomaly there, which I'm interested in thinking if there was anything during that time period which was causing people not to fully embrace the LGBT community or anything like that. I'm not aware of anything. I think there's probably just some variation in the statistical analysis. But in 2022, 46% of those surveyed agreed with the statement that the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior doesn't apply today. So I think a lot of these statistics and these assessments can be helpful, just backing up what we are seeing and observing in the trends of the culture. But really, I'm more interested even in thinking specifically about evangelicalism, about what's happening in the church. I know that the world is doing terrible. I see that. I look at that and I know that they're in trouble. But what's most troubling is that those who claim to be Christians, those who claim to be a part of the church, often show no difference from the world. You know, I wrote an article over the weekend called Not All Christians Are True Christians. That's available on the website. You can visit that. I'll even link to it in the podcast note. And I wrote that article because I'd been having many conversations with people that I've met online or through the podcast, and they'd reached out with questions and asking about their church and just the quality of the church. And many of the conversations I was having with people revolved around this idea that many people who claim to be Christians are not actually Christians. They go to church, they say that they're Christians, but they don't do what Jesus told them to do, and they're not being obedient. And so in my mind, it's rather easy to just say, listen, I don't care what you call yourself, you're not a real Christian. So I wrote that blog post, and I actually cited some of the 2020 State of Theology assessments. And it's funny because that same day, the 2022 State of Theology came out. So immediately my blog article was out of date, but only in so much as the trends are actually worse now for those who claim to be Christians. In the blog article, which I wrote, I cited the survey of those in 2020 who 40% of those surveyed disagreed with the statement, only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. So 40% disagreed with that statement, even though that is a core component of Christianity. And there are so many other elements that are a core component of Christianity that are rejected by evangelicals as well. For example, in the most recent 2022 survey, in statement number 7, you have a statement, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. So that's the statement. Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. So in other words, the question is, was Jesus God or not? Now, Here's the crazy thing, okay? That has been a yes for Christians down through the ages, and that is a key component of what it means to follow Christ and embrace who he is. But you have 44% of evangelicals surveyed who agree with the statement that Jesus was not God. So that's 44%, right? And that is rather concerning because that is almost, I mean, we're getting close to halfway there. So 44% of evangelicals deny a very core essential component of Christianity. I mean, as Christians, we're not allowed to make Jesus in our own image, to worship a pseudo-Jesus. And if you reject him as God, that is anathema. That's not something that you can walk back from. And so it's revealing, I think, heartbreaking that you have a very significant portion of those who are identified as Christians, and not just mainstream Christians, but evangelical. And yet they are going to reject the deity of Christ. Now, I'm just switching the filters here on this just to see what mainline Protestants would say. So there were only 258 mainline Protestants who were surveyed. And so it's actually quite similar. 49% would agree with the fact that Jesus was not God. Perhaps even similar when you think about Roman Catholics, who were 700 of those surveyed. Roman Catholics had 52% agreement that Jesus was not God. So this isn't just an evangelical problem, but the issue is that evangelicals are supposed to be faithful to what Scripture has said, that they have broken away from Catholicism, they've broken away from mainline Protestantism because of the liberalism that's found there, and yet now liberalism is finding its way into the evangelical church as well. And so that's very revealing. And so just because you go to a evangelical church, just because you go to a Baptist church or any of these evangelical churches which are associated traditionally with solid Bible teaching, that doesn't mean that's what you're going to get. We are living in a day and age now where everything must be on a church by church basis. You can't just assume that a denomination will have it right, or that a certain brand of church is going to have it right. No, this is something on a church by church basis, because so many churches within denominations don't have it right. And so many churches are feeding liberalism. And I'll admit that even in solid churches, there is a need to keep on guard, because false teachers come in so easily. And so it's something to be very wary of. So on that note, I want to talk specifically now about the trends within evangelicalism. And the State of Theology summary actually organizes the survey this way, so I think it's really easy and helpful to analyze it this way. So talking about God and Orthodox Christianity, so thinking about how evangelicals respond to this, in statement number 3 on the survey, the statement is, God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So that's the statement, that God accepts the worship of all these religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Well, in 2016, 48% of evangelicals agreed with that, which is concerning already, right? So that already shows that there have been problems with Christians, evangelical Christian, I'm using air quotes, because like I would say, I don't think that these are true Christians, but they are being statistically identified as Christians. And they are saying that God accepts the worship of Judaism and Islam alongside Christianity. Well, fast forward past 48% in 2016. In 2022, over half of evangelicals agree with that, 56%. So according to 2022 survey, 56% of evangelicals that you would meet on the street would say, oh yeah, God accepts the worship of Judaism. God accepts the worship of Muslims. That is what evangelical Christians would say. That's just flat out liberalism. You know, this is a very sad commentary on the state of the church. Maybe that would be a better better name of this statistical analysis. And I think it's heartbreaking that there's no differentiation between the acceptability of these different forms of worship. Well, we already talked about the statement number 7, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. So in 2020, we had talked about this on that episode prior, 2 years ago, where 30% of evangelicals agreed that Jesus was not God. But now in 2022, 43% agree with the statement that Jesus is not God or was not God. And so that's revealing. Although, you know, it's very clear throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, I would say there's very clear divinity attributed to the Messiah. And, you know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have Hebrews 1:1-4. In the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So there are very strong attestations of the deity of Christ, and yet that is one of the things that is rejected by 43% of evangelicals now. Now, thinking about truth, what is truth, as Pilate had said? Well, thinking from the evangelical perspective here, so the statement number 16, the Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. Remember, over half of Americans agree with that the Bible is not literally true. But in the evangelical realm, in 2016, you had 17% that agreed with that. So even among evangelical Christians, you had 17% that said that the Bible is not literally true. But in 2022, so 6 years later, just this year, you had 26%. So over a quarter, so out of every four evangelicals that you would meet, one of them would say that the Bible is not literally true. That is just shocking. It's shocking that would be a reality, that so many Christians are rejecting the veracity of God's word. Now, as we go on the same kind of idea here, so the statement number 31 in this survey, but statement number 31 deals with religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not objective truth. Now, in 2022, evangelicals in the evangelical population, 38% agreed with that. So religious belief is a matter of personal opinion and not objective truth. 38% agree with that among evangelicals. Let me just tell you, if you're listening to this podcast still, if you haven't turned it off, let me just tell you how discouraging that is, right? So basically, among the evangelical population, 4 out of 10, right? So you're dealing with almost 40%, 38%. Almost 4 out of every 10, so 2 out of every 5 people that you meet, you are going to come against this idea that objective truth is related to your religious belief, even among Christians. That is just so sad, and that really is very difficult to have a conversation. So this is going to have to be, when you're talking with people then, you're going to have to be prepared to talk about why we need to have this understood, objective truth realized. This is going to be a big part of conversations now, is just talking about, I think it was Francis Schaeffer who coined the term true truth. So you're going to have to talk about how we know truth exists, what is truth, and how we base that on standard. So 38% this year of evangelicals have denied that there's a link between objective truth and religious belief, that religious belief is a personal opinion. All right, now let's talk about sexual ethics. Obviously, Americans are going to, you know, be wide open on the issue of sexual ethics. So what about evangelicals? Well, evangelicals still have a strong assessment of sexual ethics. And so in 2016, 91% agreed with the statement sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. So 91% agreed. Now in 2022, 94% agreed. So there was actually an increase with those who agreed with this statement that sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. So that's encouraging. But one of the sad realities is that, unfortunately, evangelicals will often say the right thing and do the wrong thing. So unfortunately, many within the evangelical community would say one thing and act another way, unfortunately. But at least as far as what people say is true, this is what evangelicals would say. 94% agree with the statement that sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. But what about the idea of gender identity? All right. Now, this, again, we saw was being embraced wholesale by American adults. But what about evangelicals? Well, statement number 27, gender identity is a matter of choice. Well, in 2022, 37% agreed with that statement out of the evangelical population there, the population surveyed. So 37%. So again, that's a cultural push. Now, 2016, you already saw that the ship had left the station. Is that mixing two metaphors? Kind of seems like mixing two metaphors. So the train had left the harbor, and 37% agreed in 2022, but in 2016, it wasn't much better. It was 32%. Now, when we're assessing that, again, it just shows that the propaganda, the push about gender identity being a matter of choice has been really inculcated even on Christians. Now, I've been trying to do as best I can, doing podcasts here or there, doing presentations on transgenderism, on homosexuality, and just showing how the Bible talks about it, right? We did a podcast on why you shouldn't use pronoun hospitality for people who claim to be another gender because you don't want to help facilitate them in a delusion. So these are things that evangelicals need to be talking about, but 37%, so almost 4 out of every 10, almost 2 out of every 5, they are going to be holding to the fact that gender identity is a matter of choice. So again, this betrays a lack in ignorance or an influence by the culture. And then statement number 28 deals with homosexuality. So again, for the statement, the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior, it doesn't apply today. Well, in 2022, 28% of Christians, 28% of evangelical Christians agreed with that statement. And we would expect higher. Evangelical Christians are supposed to be the conservative Christians, right? That's the reason I'm spending time talking about evangelicals, is because technically I'm supposed to be an evangelical. If you're listening to this podcast, I mean, odds are, I mean, there could be some outliers, but you're supposed to be an evangelical if you're listening to this just demographically. If you're not, you're still welcome to listen. I'm glad you are. But you're supposed to be listening to this as an evangelical because you're more conservative, because you are holding to what the Bible talks about. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to try to help us think about the Bible seriously and truly, and then assess culture in light of what the Bible's saying. But what this is saying is that 28% of these evangelicals, so these conservative Christians, believe that the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior doesn't apply today. And of course, you know, my follow-up with that would be, why not? Why can we say that this doesn't apply? Why can we say that the prohibitions against homosexuality do not apply, but other things do? No, I mean, this 28% there's a real logical problem here, because you can't be consistent and hold to the throwing out of the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality and yet embrace other things that you want. And yet what we're seeing is evidence not of Christianity. We're seeing evidence of a man-made religion, right? This is not Christianity. This is a man-made religion. Christians submit to what God says, and what God says is found in Scripture. Now, abortion, this will not come as a surprise, but abortion, you actually see 91% of evangelicals agreeing that abortion is a sin. So that's the highest it's been since it was started to be surveyed in 2016. So 2016, 87% agreed from evangelicals. In 2022, 91% agreed. And I think I've seen this. I think you have too. Social media in Christian circles has actually done a really good job of just keeping the message in front of people that abortion is a sin. However, I would say what's scary about this, you have certain things like evangelicals saying sex outside of traditional marriage is wrong and abortion is a sin. Those are two things that evangelicals seem to be promoting as a correct moral outworking of life. But I don't think very many evangelicals would link that with scripture. I think they're linking it with the cultural social media pushes and what their friends are saying. And so if the winds ever changed, you would quickly see a vast change in evangelical opinion on those things because people's beliefs are not tied to scripture. We've seen that in the other issues. And so as we're making a big picture observation here, I think the big, big takeaway is that evangelical Christians, as they're called, do not take the Bible seriously. And that's the travesty out of all of this, right? And so once your theology is not tied to scripture, if it's tied to a system, to a culture, to your church, well, then you have some problems because once that theology changes, then you just follow along with that instead of having the firmly rooted foundation of scripture itself. Now, as we've assessed all these things, I go back to what I mentioned earlier. When I wrote my article last weekend about not all Christians are true Christians, I didn't know that the new State of Theology was coming out. So this kind of dovetails nicely. So I just want to point to one of the things that I mentioned in that article is that I talk about how there are 2.2 billion Christians in the world, according to World Atlas, right? Now, this survey, the State of Theology, has just talked about how Christians in America think. Evangelical Christians is who the group that we focused on, just because that's supposed to be the conservative church. But I just want to point out there that these are very troubling beliefs of general Christianity. In fact, outside of the State of Theology address, recently, over the last, I think it was within the last half a year, there was a survey conducted by Arizona Christian University, and they surveyed pastors, and a third, so 33% of senior pastors in the United States believe someone can earn a place in heaven by being a good person. Now, that's not just the average Joe. That's not the regular churchgoer. Those are pastors who are committing the extreme heretical belief of thinking that good works can earn you salvation. So as long as you're a good enough person, you can find a place in heaven. That is not okay, right? So that's even among church leaders, we have such a dearth of good, solid biblical understanding and theology. And so the warning that I really want to make sure we all understand is that just because somebody claims to be a Christian, it doesn't mean that they are a Christian. It doesn't mean that they are what they say they are. In fact, there are many, many warnings throughout Scripture. In fact, one of the most significant ones I can think of is in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, where Jesus warns his followers and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And that's Matthew 7, 21 through 23. See, Jesus, even in his ministry, was adamant and telling people, listen, there's going to be many people who think they have a relationship with me, but they don't do the will of my Father. They'll say, "Lord, Lord," to me. And they'll say, "Did we not do all these things in your name?" And he'll say, "Depart, I never knew you." So it's a rather clear statement, really. Jesus is teaching us, and this is followed up by the Apostle Paul and others as well, that there are many who claim to be Christians who aren't Christians. And so really the mark of a genuine believer is it's pretty easy. You believe what God tells you to believe. You believe what is true according to Scripture, and you do what Jesus tells you to do.
It's that simple. I mean, it really boils down to that. You believe the core tenets of what it means to be a Christian. You believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died, rose again, and stands at the right hand of the Father interceding for his own. Those are core beliefs. And yet you have people believing that Jesus is not God. You have people who claim to be Christian who deny the resurrection. Who would have ever thought? You have Christians who say you can be, you know, embrace the LGBT spectrum and still be a believer, when Paul says explicitly in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, that those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a serious issue, because it comes down again to what we're talking about is one's understanding of Scripture. If Scripture is God's revelation to us about what to believe and how to live, then your view of Scripture automatically is going to influence how you live, what you believe. But if you believe that Scripture is not true, it's not literally true, then you're going to have a lot of problems. You know, and I don't want to leave this episode without saying one more thing, because I hear this, you know, and I love my post-millennial brothers. But this is one thing that people often throw out there, is just like, the world has never been more Christian. That's what they'll say. They'll say, look it, there are literally billions of Christians out there now. And the one thing that I always want to just, when I'm listening to a podcast or I'm watching a YouTube video, I want to just scream at them and say, you cannot possibly think that those are real Christians. You cannot possibly think that. See, there are few. Jesus said, narrow is the way and few will find it. Right? These are not real Christians, but this is one of the devil's greatest ways of deception, is by melding and mixing people who claim to be Christian, who are just Christian enough to get by, who kind of look like Christians. They walk the walk a little bit. They talk the talk a little bit. And so they deceive and they fool. But we need to just understand that according to the Bible's own standard, these are not Christians. And so it's something that we need to be on our guard for. One of the things that Paul himself warned in Acts 20, and I think that this is such a revolutionary passage to keep in mind, but in Acts 20, Paul said that there would be fierce wolves who come in among you, and it's from among your own selves that these men will arise speaking twisted things. So in other words, Paul warned immediately at the birth of the church that there are going to be false teachers, they're going to be saying false things, and they're going to come from your own ranks. It's not as if this is going to be an attack from the outside, but it's people from within. The danger within the church is always the greatest danger, because there are false teachers, false brothers, and false sisters who claim to be of Christ, and they aren't. And I think these surveys are just good examples of that. For the one who is thinking rationally, thinking biblically, this isn't going to come as a surprise, but it does come as a wake-up call that we must stand on the truth, be on our guard, and protect the truth. That's what God demands of us. Well, I hope this episode has been helpful. I know it's a little different, but I've enjoyed it, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. It's always helpful to kind of analyze some of these statistics that are coming out and be able to assess the state of theology, or perhaps better said, the state of the church. Always would love to hear from you. You can reach out to contact me through the form on my website. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.